Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in to In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. We are here for you for 3 hours. It's a three-hour tour. Boggs, I've really failed in my mission to incorporate a three-hour tour into, like, the open.
You're like the Lou Gehrig of a three-hour tour joke, though. Like, this is the third or fourth show in a row I think we've made this joke.
So. No.
Oh, yes.
We have not said the three-hour tour.
Yes, we have 100 times.
Well, okay, maybe 100 times, but not three or four straight shows.
It's at least two straight shows because we did it in the last show. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, you mentioned it, we made a joke about my Carl's Jr. bit and people saying, oh, your health, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you can't die because 50% of the world's podcasts would be unhosted.
Yeah.
So I could be getting stuff mixed up. That's a possibility. But I don't think I am. Pretty sure we made this joke last week.
A homeless podcast would be out there without Bogman. But yeah, I don't know. At some point, I need to do that, incorporate that. Either way, 3 hours here, right here for In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Any of it that you miss, you can catch it on the podcast. Highly suggest you go do that and subscribe to us. We are on iHeartRadio and Spotify and all the places. Plus, you can listen to the show live on the Fantasy Sports Radio app and on iHeartRadio. There's a bunch to cover, but I'm pretty sure it all starts with foot and ends with ball. I'm pretty sure that's what the extent of everything that we are going to be doing today. So follow along because, Bogman, as you told me, this past week, we have now experienced the final weekend without football until February of 2020.
That's right. Football every single weekend. Moving from this point forward. Are you even ready?
I'm not. Dude, I think you and I were talking on Thursday and you were saying something. You're like, yeah, the Hall of Fame game. And I was like, oh, yeah, when is that? You're like, tonight. I'm like, what? What? The game is, what? It's tonight? I had no idea it was already like August. It came completely out of nowhere. I don't know where July went. I don't know what happened to June, but apparently football is here and it's August.
Everybody's excited about the Hall of Fame game, and we do have stuff to talk about, but I think there might be one game of football that is more worthless than the Hall of Fame game, and it's the Pro Bowl. I think that's the only game that is even more worthless.
Here, okay, to your point, I was going to say if you had to pair those two out, the redeeming factor of the Hall of Fame game is it is the first football we've gotten in God knows how long. The Pro Bowl is the only game we don't need by any measure of football. I think I've said this before. I would rather watch a Madden tournament than watch the Pro Bowl. I would rather watch other people play Madden football in a stadium if you want. Do a Madden tournament, an 8 bracket down tournament. I would watch that. I would not watch the Pro Bowl.
Paint dry or the Pro Bowl. That's kind of like
if it's multicolored so paint, I'll take the paint, to be honest with you.
It's not. Give me some mushrooms with that paint. I'll watch the paint.
I don't know, man. I might just see what's going on with it. But like it's so tough because nobody plays at all. Like you had to watch Matt Schaub throw quarterbacks and throw him back out.
It'd be way more interesting if he was throwing quarterbacks.
Throwing anything. He's throwing interceptions. He's doing that. But, like, I don't know half of the people that played in this game. And we joke about, like, yeah, there's, you know, baseball in September. There's some guys that'll pop up. And, you know, you see it in Hard Knocks or whatever. Of course there's going to be a player or two. But you go look at the box score of the players that played in the Hall of Fame game. And it essentially just becomes, it's like a Key and Peele bit, like Quadri Allison. I don't know who that is. Kafafani Muhammad.
Quadri Allison was a running back at Pitt. So, and Cal Muhammad played at Cal. He was a running back at Cal.
Who is Alamidi Zacachusis?
Zacachusis. There's been some contentiousness in how to pronounce his name because it's just a
bunch of letters.
I have no idea. I think it's, I called him Olamide Zacchaeus for a long time.
Zacchaeus?
I heard it's Olamide Zacchaeus. So, but he's kind of like a tweener between a running back and a wide receiver. He's one of those guys that, it was nice in college fantasy football because he qualified at wide receiver, but he'd also take like 10 to 15 rushes every game.
Does he catch quarterbacks just like Matt?
He doesn't catch any quarterbacks. I've never seen him do it once.
Okay. So. Well, I just don't know who these players are. Now you're gifted a player or two that might have some relevance. I want to talk about Noah Fant, who was somebody that had a series at least. And I saw a couple of the targets that went his way. But to your point, there is no more worthless game. It's truly the game you watch just to appease that football is back. Like it's played about on par as a AAF game or whatever that bankrupt league is.
That's exactly like I got flashbacks to watching, just the horrible football in the XFL and the AAF. And that's kind of what it was. Cause I had it on in the background. I had the whole game on in the background. I just didn't pay attention to it too much on Thursday night. Because it wasn't a good game. It was close because nobody scored, but the quarterback play was so bad.
Oh, I mean, it was horrible. I think Atlanta was 23 for 48 and Denver was 17 for 29. Now, it does take you back. I will tell you, you as a college guy, Bogman, look at Denver's quarterback run. Brett Rippon, Kevin Hogan, and Drew Locke. I mean, this is a college relevant quarterback crew that was out here. But I don't know what a Kent Benkert is. I don't know what that is. Kurt Benkert.
He was teammates with Alamide Zacchaeus University of Virginia.
I'm telling you, man, these are year seven in Madden franchise players. Like these are all that these guys are. I don't know who any of these players. Like when I saw Kalfani Muhammad, I mean, Cal Muhammad kind of had a Philip Lindsay-ness to him. He actually looked pretty good. Averaged 7.1 yards per rush. He had 7 carries, 50 yards. He did score a pretty nice looking touchdown. He didn't look that bad.
He led the team in receiving yards too. So
did he have 4 catches, 24 yards? You're absolutely right. He was kind of the stud of the game, but it truly takes you back to the AAF where it's like, oh, okay, Trent Richardson signed a contract. There wasn't a lot of redeeming stuff. Though I will tell you, Noah Fant we can't use the term that you like to use for hands that I always chuckle and laugh at here, but he got hit right in those hands.
Meat beaters.
Right in those meat beaters. And he had a bad drop. And during the broadcast, they were like, well, Noah Fant, wasn't much of a guy, when he first came on, a basketball player, then he really took on and they're going to bring him on here, to be the receiving tight end. And he's really got to make these catches. And then he proceeds to just drop it right in the meat beaters. And it was
it like it's hot.
It was a really bad drop. But then they came back to him 2 plays later and he was able to, it was like a 5-yard out. He was able to get it about a yard past the first down line, right out of bounds. It was a nice looking catch. It was his only catch of the game. He was targeted 3 times. The 7-yard catch was the one he had with that one bad looking drop. But that was a guy that we could kind of walk away. I really might have been truly the only player that had any relevancy to fantasy guys.
Yeah, I mean, there was one thing that I saw that, a couple outlets were reporting on, and it was that Brian Hill just looks so much better than Ito Smith. And the thought process was that...
I forgot Ito was in a little bit. 3 carries, 6 yards. Brian Hill, 11 carries, 57 yards.
Yeah, just 5.2 yards per carry. He did have a touchdown catch to Brian Hill. So he just looked better than Ito Smith. I still think it's Ito Smith's job to lose, but... this kind of seemed like it might have gone from Ito Smith is directly back up. And
like
Brian
run B,
Hill.
Or even like Devontae Freeman is like 1A with it. There was a thought process at a time that Ito Smith could be a 1B where maybe it's it's a one situation and Hill and Ito are clear two fighting for.
Right, right. Well, I thought, and I think the thought process was that Hill and Oleksii are fighting for that third back job. You know what I mean? So, and I would honestly think that Oleksii would have had a little bit of the leg up because he can play on special teams as well. But, with Hill playing so well and Smith looking so bad, maybe this is going to turn into some type of a battle for the number two back there. So you have to just pay attention to that a little bit. But I mean, it was nice to have football back, you know.
It's all go now. I mean, we are now footballed. We are officially in footballed.
they're, you know, next Thursday, we have just a big slew of games on Thursday. Then we have two on Friday, which the Steelers are opening up against the Bucks on Friday. I'm looking forward to that. And then Saturday, there's a couple games as well. So it's going to be a fun week to watch some football and, you know, just get your beak wet with all of the stuff going on. So,
well, it's officially walking into fantasy season too. I mean, I know that's weird to say, but like, you know, lots of people
have been injury time too.
Well, that's where we were going because, you know, everyone digests stuff in July, a lot of best ball stuff, dynasties kind of going on. You and I just started up kind of our first, one of our keeper leagues, IDP ones. We're starting to do the drafts, but August is representative of so much because you're going to, like, people want to get those drafts in. They're going to start happening, but you know, casualties are awaiting in week one. And then we're going to have the same old tired, should we play the preseason games? Let's have 18 regular season games. We're going to get all of that stuff because someone is about to lose their season. And the worst is when it's someone of significance that's going to, you know, just ruin all of our time. It's, you know, whatever running back or wide receiver is going to go down. If Brandon Cooks is going to tear his ACL.
I don't care if Olamide Zaccheaus blows out his knee, but if that's Freeman, I'm having a bad day, Jack.
I mean, you are having a bad day, to be honest with you. You are having a bad day.
It affects all of us because we have to, oh, God, now we got to go do our rankings and, you know, if something happens to Freeman, who are we moving up? Are we moving up Ito or are we moving up Brian Hill now?
You know,
that becomes way more interesting.
The interesting one, too, I'd love for there to be, and maybe there is, and I just don't know about it. I'd love to know if there's some, like, quantitative stuff that someone has sat down and maybe taken the last 10 years of the highly successful preseason guys and what's turned into the season. And what I mean by that is, you know, you have the Thomas Claytons of the world from years ago that led the preseason in rushing for the 49ers. But we get these guys that come in, they go nuts in the preseason. We get hyped up and we never hear from them again. What's the data to tell us of these opportunities actually equating to real values? We've seen it a few, like Wes Welker, Zach Thomas. Those are some guys that kind of jump out to me, but like how much
too high? It can't be too high because if you get a guy that's probably NFL average starter versus third and fourth string, that guy is going to look incredible. You know what I mean? It's like a pitcher. It's like, you know, sticking Clayton Kershaw down in single A. You know what I mean? Maybe a guy that could eventually make the bigs could get a knock off him or something, but he's going to mow most of those guys down. It's kind of the same deal. Like, you know, if you have a guy that is, he hasn't raised on the depth chart yet, but he looks good. You know, and he's just average NFL wise, but he's going up against these third and fourth string guys. He's going to look great. So, I mean, I think the biggest one in recent memory, obviously Philip Lindsay having a nice preseason.
Oh, that's a good one.
But I mean, the last one that I remember truly coming out of absolutely nowhere was probably Victor Cruz. You know, Victor Cruz had giant preseason with the Giants. And then, you know, he was, no one knew who he was that I could think of. And then he just went nuts that year with the Giants. So that's like, the last guy that I really, really remember having a huge preseason.
And there's like three levels to this. There's the take the Kalen Ballage, ex Ken and Drake level where two guys are kind of fighting for it. They're given the opportunity, almost like a Russell Wilson too, where the guy maybe surprisingly, you know, was worked out in ones, is given that opportunity, then bam, gets to run with it. That's the first level of preseason importance. Second level is guys that are already on everyone's radar. Perfect example, let's take a Justice Hill, you know, in Baltimore. You got, they got Mark Ingram, they got Gus the Bus, they got Kenyon Kenneth Dixon, but Justice Hill's someone everybody likes. He goes out, he balls out, then all of a sudden he's put in like the 1B situation. That's number two, but that was kind of one that's sitting in everybody's expectations. Where I wonder is, do we get to the level where this one might qualify as a Justice Hill one too, by the way, but like, take a guy that comes out of absolutely nowhere, like a Darwin Thompson balls out in the preseason and supplants Damian Williams, like that level of, oh my gosh, preseason has completely altered a plan for everybody else that no one saw coming. Now, I know
Russell Wilson has to go in there,
well,
too.
That Russell Wilson was in the original conversation. I said, kind of like Kalen Ballage, like they came out the gates, they gave him it and he was able to run with it. But will we get the version three of what I said?
I'm just looking at like last year's and 2 years ago, like 2 years ago in 2017, Corey Grant led in rushing. Cameron Artis Payne was second. David Flewellen from Tennessee was fourth. Alfred Morris was fifth. Terrell Watson was third. Dede Westbrook led in receiving yards in his rookie year. Remember, he was going to blow up and that never happened. Alex Erickson, Jakeem Grant. So, yeah, I mean, you have to go down the list a while to find someone that completely broke out and was amazing and then continued their success kind of from, you know, unknown to known. I mean, Derrick Henry had a huge preseason, but he was also a first round pick. So yeah. No one was that surprised.
Yeah, it would just be like, you know, Bruce Anderson getting the starting job after preseason in Tampa Bay. You know, over Peyton
Barber. What are you drinking there? I
swear to God, there's a bottle 3 feet from me, and a bottle cap just flew off of it. Like it's either that there's a little bit of a breeze in here, or
it was a big officer,
or an alien.
Had what drink?
Maybe not an alien, but a ghost. That's what I'm looking for. Not an alien.
Maybe it's an alien ghost.
Maybe it's an alien. Maybe, but something knocked a bottle off that was not touched whatsoever. I was trying to keep my cool, but now you brought it up. I'm a little bit freaked out right now because bottle caps are flying off near me. Maybe there's an uncomfortable feeling we're talking about with the preseason. But don't go anywhere. More Bogman the Welsh coming up, and maybe more ghosts too. I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. We'll be talking more about the NFL pretty much throughout the entire show. Got a cool thing in the last hour we'll talk about as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh, in this league.
Season-long fantasy football drafts are in full swing, and Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package with the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts team provide dynasty season-long betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. Save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. The NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. Welcome
A
back.
Plus.
That's pretty good. Little tiny jolt in there, but it's like an A. I appreciate that. They're taking care of me. My boy taking care of me. Welcome back. This is In This League. Bogman of the Welsh, find us on Twitter at Is It The Welsh, at Bogman Sports. And I thoroughly implore you, if you're looking for some good prep talk, make sure that you're listening to the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. It is different from this show, but we have some killer stuff. We did the Hell Week, which was the rank episodes. We've got a couple mock drafts we just knocked down using both different platforms of Yahoo and ESPN. And this coming week, it's still going to be rocking. I'm very happy with the stuff that we've been doing. Some of our best stuff. We need more listeners.
Yeah, you should be listening to that for sure. We got, like the Welsh said, ranks analysis coming up. I just did, I haven't put it together, but I went through finding all the ranks last night, and that's always fun. So,
much fun, as in fact. Mm-hmm.
So much fun. It's okay. My favorite part of doing the show sheets.
Sure.
Is that one.
So I think it's an interesting conversation we're having. And I like that you threw out some of those names because we all get really excited. And I think for the most part, we're level-headed about, you know, what we're getting into with the preseason. But, you know, you go and see a Justice Hill knock off, you know, 90 yards on 8 carries. People are going to get excited. I mean, you were just saying it already. Everyone after the Hall of Fame game is like, man, Brian Hill just looks better than Ito Smith. It's a Hall of Fame game. One game. And you're calling off Ito Smith. The percentages and likelihood of success coming off of the preseason is super, super low. There's the obvious guys that are vying for jobs. That's one thing that we're looking for. But what I'm talking about is kind of the out of nowhereness. It could be undrafted free agents that they signed. It could be really low end rookies that are fourth or fifth on the depth chart. Or there could also be signings that could be have impact that none of us give credit for. Take Theo Riddick, man. Theo Riddick just signed in Denver, and I would be curious where people are going to sit, especially after what was his name, Cal Muhammad.
Yeah, Cal Muhammad looked really good.
I mean, Cal Muhammad looked really good, but they signed Theo Riddick. Where does Theo Riddick play in here? What if there's a good connection? Theo Riddick is such a receiving back, but there was also a hope, Boggs, that Philip Lindsay was going to step up a bit in the receiving game. I would worry even, we did this whole bit over on the ITL Football Podcast about the conversation around Lindsay and Freeman is maybe both get around 150 carries or touches to 175, somewhere in there. But Philip Lindsay is the guy that is at most risk to be cut in as far as touches go. You add in Theo Riddick in the passing game. I think that hurts a little bit more if he sticks with the team, but you get preseason guys like Cal Muhammad that look pretty good. I mean, what do you think? What do you think about either one of those guys solidifying roles?
I mean, I think that Theo Riddick was signed as a third string guy. I think that it's right now, and this is just my opinion, but I think that Philip Lindsay is still by far your first draft pick if you're drafting over Royce Freeman.
Not worried about cost or anything like that with him.
Not really. And I don't have Lindsay super high on my list. He's not a top 15 back or anything, even though he was a Pro Bowler, because you do have to factor in that Royce Freeman was a high draft pick. He twisted his ankle midseason last year, so he didn't look great. But up to that point in the preseason, in camp, in everything, Philip Lindsay ran circles around him. So to me, he's still the better player. Royce Freeman is young. He's still developing. So you have to give him a little bit of time to make his own mark, of course. But I don't think that signing Theo Riddick brings in a three-headed monster to this this running back.
And by the way, they still have Devontae Booker. Like, we're talking about Cal Muhammad signing Theo Riddick. They do also still have Devontae Booker, who every year he has like that one game where it's like, all right, Devontae Booker,
like, go away.
Yeah. And people are like, people with the questions online, they're like, should I use my waiver claim on Devontae Booker? No, you shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
You really shouldn't.
Unless they both get hurt and Muhammad's gone. And so is Riddick. I mean, you know, I would say right now there's no guarantee Riddick even makes the roster.
That's a key point to look at, too, is there's no guarantees that he even truly fits the scheme. Because if Devontae Booker is fine, or they really like what they're seeing from Cal Muhammad, Lindsay and Freeman are the core. They just cut bait on a guy like Riddick. Like, they're just opening up opportunity here with him. And also, as much as the running back position has changed a bit, they could just take a look at him and say, we're actually going to run this, quote, running back in more slot receiver packages. Another interesting note, just kind of going along with the Riddick thing, and you know how much of a proponent I've been for Matt Breida with the San Francisco 49ers.
Yes.
Explosive player. I keep repeating this, but he had the single fastest mile per hour play in the NFL last season. But he's always hurt. But the 49ers, and it was reported by over on RotoWorld, they're moving him all around the field. They want to get him into spots, so much so that he might be one of those guys that you actually don't worry about in the running. If they're like, hey, there's Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman, Breida is an absolute playmaker. They're putting him out at wide now. They're going to have him probably moving around the line as far as even just a running back and wide receiver. So what I'm getting at is the position itself is altered so much so that the traditional running back tag doesn't mean these guys don't line up in the slot. Maybe the Broncos want a slot receiver for a little bit, and Theo Riddick fills that.
Yeah, it's a continuing trend in not only in the NFL, but NCAA is starting to do it a bunch too. There's kind of a three-headed monster back thing going on with the Minnesota Gophers, and they had this freshman, Mo Ibrahim, who was great last season, and Rodney Smith has been the guy for them for a while, and they said they're going to start running Smith out of the slot, and he's never kind of been that guy. A guy like Reichwell Armstead with the Jaguars now last year with Temple was awful out of the slot, but they ran him there. You know, he was by far their best offensive player, so they were running him out of the slot just to kind of throw things off. He was terrible, but it's something that teams are starting to do, kind of move around a guy, change the focus. And, you know, sometimes if your best players on the field are running backs, you're starting to move them around. And it's a smart way of doing things to decoy and stuff. And, you know, that's what you see when you get more, you know, three wide receiver sets as well. So,
yeah. And these explosive players. Okay. So, you know, I mean, we're just kind of philosophically going through the narrative, like what does preseason truly hold? Don't get excited about guys like, you know, Brian Hill. Like, pace yourselves. Look for the situations that truly matter. Sure, there's a once in a blue moon type of guy that's going to come out of nowhere. There's going to, you know, I'm just, again, throwing this out where it's like the Colts, they like Mac and they like Hines, but oh my gosh, Jonathan Williams looks amazing and all of a sudden he's the starter. It's once in a blue moon that these happen.
You look for
the situations that fill the proper narratives. You want to look for guys that might take away from a flyer, which is kind of what we're talking about with, well, flyer's the wrong word, but it's what we're talking about with Theo Riddick versus Freeman and Lindsay. Like, could this new guy be a negative factor to those? Then you look at situations that make it very interesting, like Dallas picking up Alfred Morris. And they had Darius Jackson, Tony Pollard, Mike Weber they drafted. They had some guys, nobody that jumps out to you. But then they bring in Alfred Morris among all of the Ezekiel Elliott issues, which are now closely starting. At least the chatter is that he might be sitting out for a while, which he's going to lose a lot of money and eligibility on his contract. And they got an insurance policy. There's no way to not look at Alfred Morris as a Dallas Cowboys insurance policy.
Right. And, you know, I do think that let me ask you, if you agree with me or not? I know that the August 6th is the deadline for him to lose a year of eligibility, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and I don't think the team can be like, no, he's good. He can have the eligibility back. Like,
I think they can't. And I'm sure they can. So I think they would waive that if he came back afterwards. So I don't think that that's a hard and fast deadline.
I'd be curious if that's true. I'm not sure if that's true.
I'm like 98% sure that they can waive that.
Is this like as sure as like Mike Trout doesn't do the home run derby because he told you? Or is this like real?
No. Zeke told me. And so did Roger.
Oh, okay. You're in Mexico.
Yeah. Gotcha. No, but I think that if he does play this year, then he doesn't lose a year of eligibility.
Well, the whole point is if he doesn't show up for camp by August 6th, he loses eligibility and he can start being fined. The team can obviously waive all the fines, but I don't know if
also if he plays, he's not going to be docked a year. So if he plays, he's going to be fine. So I don't think that is kind of it's a narrative right now that it does need to be looked at because it is the deadline, but I also don't think it's hard and fast. And if he doesn't show up by the 6th, this is all over with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he can show up in week 3, but you know, our temperature, you know, taking our temperature on this last week is way different than it is this week. It's kind of like, when you put a pot on the stove and wait for the water to boil, like, okay, it's going to take a little bit for this to warm up. But I think we're starting to see things here.
We're seeing the bubbles start to show.
Yeah, the bubbles are starting to come up just a little bit because, you know, Jerry Jones had his comments about you don't have to have a league-leading rusher to win the Super Bowl, which, by the way, every single time they have had a league-leading rusher or every time they won a Super Bowl, Emmett led the league in rushing. Yeah,
actually, they've only won Super Bowls with league. Well, I shouldn't say that in the last 30 years. But
you're right. In the Jerry Jones era.
Isn't it funny that Jerry Jones turns into G-Dub for us?
Well, you know, it's just you get that kind of twangy, you know. I mean, I think Jerry Jones has a little bit more twang than G-W
has. That's a pretty good Jerry.
But, you know, I think that we do not have to have Ezekiel Elliott down here working to win ourselves a Super Bowl. We've got Dak. We've got Amari. I think we're going to be good with these rookies that we drafted and Tony Pollard, Mike Weber. We got Alfred Morris back. I think we're ready for our Super Bowl run.
We're here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network with Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner. I mean, you say this and then
let me give you some advice here. All right. If you're in a women's restroom,
Cameras in there.
Do not let them pull their phones out.
Okay. Thank you, Jerry.
That is just a suggestion. And also, I didn't learn this lesson personally, but from my friend, do not go to any massage parlor.
It's a good class of knowledge you have. But getting back to it, sure, they could easily cut bait on Alfred Morris, but they go get Alfred Morris. Then what happens when they go, like, they make a trade for LeSean McCoy? You know, I always assign LeSean McCoy off. I mean, that's the telling sign when something
boiling.
Like that happens.
Now the water's boiling. You're ready to, put your pasta in. You're good to go.
Yeah, you can't touch that thing without a mitt at this point.
Right, exactly.
And then you worry your ass off about drafting Ezekiel Elliott, where no one's doing it right now. Our boy Pizapia was in one of these drafts. It was like this Razzball one, and he took Ezekiel Elliott 1 overall. So much he wasn't worried. And we've had multiple guests over on the Fantasy Black Book podcast on Fantrax. We've had guests. We've said it. No worries. Well, we're now in August. The narrative is getting increasingly more negative. It's still not Melvin Gordon. It's still not this level, but it's starting to become early Melvin Gordon talk, which gets you worried. I'm telling you, the minute that the week one of the preseason starts to go, if he's not there by August 6th, I would be worried about it. It has to be some type of a concern, as the narrative is nothing but negative. And what you have to watch for is just what we're talking about. Is Alfred Morris getting reps out there? Do they make a trade? Does a team like the Bills, after week one, know that LeSean McCoy is done, we're going with Devin Singletary, they cut him, and the Cowboys bring him in? Those type of moves are going to be the things that are telling. So until they do,
get a Zeke for Melvin Gordon flip. Let's do that.
I was thinking like Cowboys trade for Melvin Gordon and then all hell breaks loose.
What difference would it make? I mean, yeah. they're both holding out because the team won't pay them.
Contractually. So. Yeah. You almost wonder, do you think those two could be affecting each other because they both want to be the highest paid? And it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Who gets to be the highest paid? Like, it's almost like both teams are waiting for the other one to sign so they don't get into a big kerfuffle. It's just a weird, stupid thing I'm thinking about. But I'm just telling you, Ezekiel, I really hope your drafts are late because I need 7 more days of information on Ezekiel Elliott to feel better.
But what if you're drafting on Sunday, tomorrow? What if you're drafting on Monday? What if you're drafting, whatever, on Wednesday? If you're drafting this second, is Zeke still the number 2 pick for you? Or are you avoiding that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you with a little bit more of the increased stuff, if I had the 3rd pick, I would be taking Kamara or McCaffrey. If I was in a full PPR, that's just what I would do now.
Well, I'm sorry. Excuse you. With what pick?
2nd or 3rd pick. Like I'm not taking Elliott with the top
Zeke
3 picks.
Zeke goes to 4. So
yeah, I mean, I probably bite that.
If you're sitting at 4
or Todd Gurley,
if you're sitting at 4 and people make the same decision that you would make and they take McCaffrey and then Kamara and then you're at 4 and you can take Zeke or you can take Todd Gurley. What are you doing at that point?
I don't think I'm worried enough to go crazy because like the top 4 is a tier. So
right.
I'm trying to be sane here and realistic with everybody.
Yeah.
We don't want to spread mass fear, but we've have enough of a background to be concerned about these things. Are we at the point where he still has multiple days to show up? The Cowboys love him. Jerry Jones is going to get him paid. All of these type of things. Is it enough that you dump him out of tier yet? No, it's not. So if I was drafting Tuesday or Monday, I might just alter the tier and just be like, hey, listen, man, Kamara, I'm good. Even though the stupid Saints have been digging around at other running backs, which I don't like. And then McCaffrey, the new news we had on McCaffrey was they don't want to limit his touches. They just want to limit his
plays.
So that's it. The narrative seems fine. So I mean, I'll just move him to the bottom of the tier. So if I'm at 3, I just take the guy that I know what I'm getting into. At 4, I'm keeping him in the same tier if I draft this week. Now, next week, if I'm drafting next Saturday or Sunday and this is in, I feel like we will have a lot more solid information that will have us concerned if he's not in camp. And that's where the falls are going to start happening, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, it's just it just sucks if you're drafting, and even if you're not doing, like a real draft, you're doing a best ball draft. How far down can you possibly let both those guys?
I mean, see, best ball, I'm probably less prone to do it. I'm going to take more home run risk.
Yeah. Yeah, more gamble for a home run, absolutely. It's just, it's a tough decision to make because we might be sitting on the precipice of young running backs holding out.
Sure.
This might be the new way to go about getting yourself a deal, and that's what Bell did. And
well,
I would like to see a Bell for Zeke trade, something like that.
I mean, and what's so interesting about it, too, is it's almost the running back's version of pushing back as the NFL has went away from the workhorse, which is going to allow these players to get paid because they accumulate massive stats. And now teams are out running two or three running backs in a system, which makes them less valuable. And their value has diminished by the sheer amount of running backs that they're putting out there. So what are the core guys doing and the big guys? They're holding out for their money and they're going to put their feet down. It's a really interesting battle that's probably going to go into some, collective bargaining agreement issue. But don't go anywhere. When we come back, let's actually dig into what week one of the preseason is going to look like. Look at some matchups, maybe a few things to be on the lookout for. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman and the Welsh right here on In This League coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Podcasting, streaming live, Bogman and the Welsh. We are here for you. Final segment of Hour 1. Pretty much all football because football's back in our life, man. But and I'll tell you, I didn't realize how much more I needed football until I accepted my addiction. And you know what my addiction is, Bogman, besides food and having proper fitting clothes?
I don't know what your addiction is. I have inappropriate things to say, but I'll keep them to myself.
That's radio.
Keep it
PC. Yeah, we'll keep it good. My addiction is having back-to-back-to-back binge watching. I really just say binge watching is my addiction. And
so you hate it when it comes up and it says, are you still enjoying whatever? And you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Thank you.
I'm still a fat ass sitting here watching this. So
I hate
stop
more
saying
though,
that
is realizing that I finished a series. So what I'm getting at here is like, I need football. I need these Thursday and the Friday preseason. I need these things because I had this moment last night where I had just finished The Boys on Amazon, which you and I are
incredible.
We are just all about this show. We did over on our Patreon. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We do a couple secret shows a month, just talking about whatever comedy, stories, weird stuff. We want to make you laugh. The last 15 minutes of the most recent one over on Patreon, we talked about The Boys because that show is, it's phenomenal. And it's amazing too that it's like the first one of Amazon to get like that Netflix buzz. Remember the stupid, what was the bird eye or the blind bird or Bird Box?
Bird Box.
Bird Box.
Yeah.
Like, Netflix got the Bird Box chatter where everyone's talking about it. Well, Amazon finally got that and it's with The Boys.
Yeah, and The Boys way better than stupid Bird Box.
Well,
so.
Bird Box was just
Bird Box was terrible.
It was nothing but hype. That was a horrible movie.
I love binge watching stuff. I do have a problem at this point in the year when I'm making all of these rankings and lists and getting prepped for all this stuff. I have a hard time putting something that I need to focus on a ton on in the background. The Boys was nice because it's 8 episodes, so that is not 20 episodes or anything. So I keep rewatching the same stuff that I've watched before,
I'm not a rewatcher. I can't because I don't have enough time to like watch TV in general. Kids and the amount of podcasts
we do. You talked about how you love binge watching, but you don't have time to watch TV.
No, but here's
what
I'm saying. But what I'm saying is I have a limited amount of time, and that limited amount of time is dedicated to series. Like I what I'm saying is I don't go back and watch stuff. I'm not like, oh, I'll just go back and watch like Breaking Bad and I'll just watch some Office. No, the time that I get, I want to consume new stuff because it's usually one or two episodes of something at night while I'm, you know, I've just finished up, everyone's asleep and I probably should be going to bed, but I don't. And I finished The Boys and I had this realization, I got nothing. Like nothing. I've watched the shows. Netflix has some new show with, I don't remember her name, Kate something. Remember from Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah. McKinnon?
Kate Sackhoff. No, I think that's her name.
Oh, Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like some new sci-fi. It looks crazy. I was like, oh, this looks good. Rotten Tomatoes, 6%.
Whoa.
Can you imagine a Netflix show getting 6%?
I feel like it would have to be like the guys from Workaholics make a sci-fi show.
I can't imagine 26%.
Or it'd be like, you know, the people that did Star Trek writing a comedy, you know. I mean, some of those things overcross, you know. I mean, David Benioff, DB Wise worked on Always Sunny. You know?
This show is Katie Sackhoff. And then who's the guy from what's my Showtime show that I love?
Shameless. Yeah.
Who's the boyfriend for the first couple?
Jimmy Steve.
Yeah. Jimmy Steve. Jimmy Steve and Kate Sackhoff are the main characters in this show. And they gave it a 6%.
Man. What is it? Just like a Battlestar Galactica ripoff? I don't know. Now I almost want to watch it because it's listed so bad.
I don't know. I know. I kind of do too. It's some like, I don't know. They got to go into space. Some aliens show up. They got to go into space to figure out what's going on. It's just like some big sci-fi world saving apocalyptic type of show. How does that get that bad? So that was my plan. But then I realized it was so bad and I had nothing. I was just desperately trying to figure stuff out. I just didn't have the show to go to. But then the realization came back that football's here and the NFL Network will rerun all the preseason games every single night and all the regular season. And it'll just never stop. So anytime you need to go to something, you can just go drop on and you can watch some football. You could do some studying. I need more content. I'm addicted.
No, I'm with that. But I think that they might be doing the bit where, you know, like Fox Sports Arizona, if the Suns and Diamondbacks are playing at the same time, you know, like on, if you're a DirecTV customer, it'd be like 212 and then 212-1.
Yeah.
So you would have to watch. I think they're doing that for the NFL Network with the preseason games. I think they'll have their regular, you know, NFL Total Access and all that stuff. But then on the other channel, they're going to be running the games. So we'll see. That would be really nice because I do get tired of like just a 15-hour block of preseason games where, you know, you want to see three series of, you know, Josh Allen or that's whoever, true. You know.
Yeah. Or whoever. What was our guy earlier? Brian Hill.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Yeah, Olamide Zaccheaus.
I got to see him.
All right. Well, we're going to do something. I think it'll be fun and interesting here. We're going to take a look at all the upcoming games. And we're going to coincide it with an article that Bogman found from Fantasy Pros. And isn't this from our boy Mike Taglier?
Yeah. Okay. It's from Taglier. Yep.
So Taglier put this article together that is a sleeper on each team. So we can kind of add that to the conversation as we look into the preseason games and just kind of, you know, we can go through what we're looking forward to, the battles we might care about. Obviously, the first preseason game, it's not too far off from the stupid Hall of Fame game. So it's a limited. But you can say, though, it is the opportunity for the lower guys.
It's better than week four. You know, week four is the worst. Yeah. That's because they don't want anybody to get hurt. Week three is a dress rehearsal. Week four is just like the Hall of Fame.
Well, and week four, also a good point to throw out the difference here is week four, the decisions on the roster have been made essentially, like maybe like some special teams bench spot. Week one, there is like I was laid out that scenario before, got like a Justice Hill or a Darwin Thompson or whatever. You know, you go blazing out in week one. That actually might give you more of an opportunity in week two. Then all of a sudden you could be vying for week three. So as much as, yeah, we're not going to get the big dogs crazy here, if there's a week, I think, that has the importance of setting the tone for a guy that might be looked at in a bigger role, this might be the week because they might get a little bit more playing time. So the first game we have is the Indianapolis Colts and the Buffalo Bills. And how about this news, Bogman? The Colts on Friday worked out your boy, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall. Devin Funches has impressed them so much that they are working out Brandon Marshall, who's retired. So
it's actually hard to not look at it that way, too. I was going to make a joke about like Paris Campbell or something, but like Brandon Marshall really only fits whatever scenario they're using with Devin Funches. Like those are the same two type of body type guys.
And it just really doesn't make a ton of sense to me either, because they have some guy, you know, they drafted Paris Campbell. They have T.Y. Hilton. Devin Funches is supposed to play across from him, but Chester Rogers is a nice slot receiver. Deion Kane, they drafted in the sixth round. Like
Deion. I thought Deion Kane was a pretty popular.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, and Zach Pascal.
And then Dorrice Fountain was huge at the Senior Bowl last year. They drafted him. And a guy like Penny Hart, they picked up from free agency out of Georgia State.
Is Steve Ishmael, is that my Rocket?
Steve Ishmael, no.
Rocket
Ishmael
son?
Jr. plays for Wyoming.
Oh,
so, okay. Steve Ishmael went to Syracuse.
Well, that's why they need Brandon Marshall. They don't have Rocket Ishmael.
Right. So, I mean, I guess if Brandon Marshall really wants to play and he wants to play with a guy like Andrew Luck, I guess. I just don't know how much
still
this
have
makes
it?
Sense.
Brandon Marshall still have it? I mean, here's the deal. I can't quit Josh Gordon. You can't quit Brandon Marshall. If he has a roster, you're drafting. No, you will own him this year if he's on the roster.
I probably own him in a super deep league. Like, we're drafting this IDP league with, you know, all kinds of extra bench spots and stuff. I might take a flyer at the end, you know.
Maybe a 16-man, possibly a 12. Man, I don't know, 10-man league maybe.
When we were doing 8-man league, when we were doing, the wide receiver facts, we were reading off, you know, this guy and that guy since 2010, blah, 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 blah. And Brandon Marshall was in a bunch of those stats.
Yeah, sure. From 2010, 9 years ago.
Yeah, but it was also guys that were playing in the NFL right now, like Michael Thomas. It was like since 2010 in a 4-year span, blah, 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 blah. And Brandon Marshall was in there. So he has the name. And by the way, I think Larry Fitzgerald came in the league before Brandon Marshall, and you know, he's still going strong. I mean, I know he's a freak, but
yeah, a little different.
He's still going strong. But I mean, it's you know, and Mike Gillisley visited there too, and I'm not running out to go pick either one of these guys. I think it's just
worried about Marlon Mack a little bit.
Marlon Mack, I've always said he's fine. Like, he's a little bit better than a Jag, but he's like Jordan Howard to me. He's a running back that's in a really good situation. So
I think
I'm
this
not
had more to do,
excited.
By the way, with Spencer Ware being moved to the PUP.
Right. And probably for him, I just don't get the Brandon Marshall thing. But hey, you know, if he makes it, he makes it. But the sleeper that Mike has is Paris Campbell. Mm. And it's his ADP right now is 141 overall. Devin Funches is on a 1-year deal. And Paris Campbell just took so much out of the slot at Ohio State. He basically only ran out of the slot. Now, I like him if he gets a ton of run, but we also, you know.
But didn't we do this? Didn't we do the facts that Chester Rogers ran
90%.
The most? Yeah, wasn't it the most plays out of the slot than anyone else in the NFL?
It wasn't the most. It was the highest percentage.
Okay, the most highest percentage.
So if he's on the field, he's almost always running out of the slot. So, and they have all these other guys, and Nyheim Hines runs out of the slot too. And that's kind of why I like Paris Campbell in a keeper league. I think he's going to develop, but for this season, I don't know that I'm in on Campbell as too much of a sleeper. I mean, maybe like you said, in a best ball, when you're looking for a home run, he could be a nice addition.
But can he be a guy that plays on the outside? Because to your point here, I got to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a really difficult time for Paris Campbell to be able to break if he's got to be a slot receiver, because I think Chester Rogers is going to be that guy. I think he's going to lock into that guy. So that it kind of is starting to come down to Paris Campbell versus Devin Funches to me.
Yeah, I just don't think he can run outside. You know, maybe he develops that a little more in camp, but you know, from the film that I watched out of Ohio State, and this is kind of why, you know, Haskins was so good. You run Terry McLaurin on the fly, and here comes Paris Campbell against these, you know, guys that are going to be, you know, working at a grocery store playing linebacker for whoever. And he's just so fast. He burns right past them. But getting off a jam and all that stuff, I'm not lining him up outside if I don't have to. So Paris Campbell probably needs to stay in the slot. So I think he's just going to be limited this season.
And I'm trying to look here. I'm seeing if I can find this. I want to find who ran the most four wide receiver sets in the NFL. How would I find that? I'm looking on some different things here because
probably the Raiders, because they were always losing.
Well, but it's also something that is absolutely in the wheelhouse of what the Colts are going to do with the amount that they pass the ball. So, I mean, they also are going to be out there with the multi tight end sets, which is something, you know, you have to consider. But okay, let me see here. I think I might have offensive. Oops, this is from sharpfootballstats.com. And this is 2018 Indianapolis. Let's see. Three wide receiver, two wide receiver, one wide receiver.
Might have been Pittsburgh.
Four wide out. It doesn't look like they were on a 0% type of thing. It looks like the 1-2. This is kind of hard to read how they're doing this. Now, they did. It looks like they were at the top of five wide receiver sets in the NFL. Because I'm looking here and it looks like the percentages, I'm not sure I 100% understand here on how they're doing it, though I understand percentages. It's just not, now it's equaling up a little bit. They had the only teams to be in the 1% range of overall plays that ran five wide receiver sets were Arizona, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh, Boggs.
Yeah.
Those would be the.
I knew Pittsburgh would be up there.
Yeah, so. And they were the most, by the way, it looks like. Indianapolis and Pittsburgh were the most on the five wide receiver sets. And I'm only making that a thing to consider for if Paris Campbell needs to go that route. As I'm looking here, Indianapolis did not run four wide receiver sets. That does not look like that is a part of their game plan as I'm going through this. They did run 70% of their offensive personnel groups as three wide receivers. And that looks like 70%. There was one, two, three, only three teams ran three wide receiver sets as much as them. The Rams, no shocker, yep. Cincinnati, shock. And Indianapolis. Those are the only 70% or higher three personnel groups.
Yeah, the Rams did it because that's what they do, and the Bengals did it because they were always losing. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just kind of how that stuff works. So Paris Campbell, not running out of the slot. I just don't see it happening for him. So I do that, but that is what makes him a sleeper. You know, if he wins that role and kind of pushes Nyheim Hines out of it and Chester Rogers over to the bench, which you would think he eventually does because he's a second round pick, that then he's going to be very, very good. I just don't know if that's going to be his rookie season. That's all. They're playing the Bills, right? You said the Bills.
They're playing the Bills. Yeah, and by the way, so the more that we're talking about this, I remember when the draft happened being excited about Paris Campbell. I feel less excited about him.
Me too.
Now going into the season. So I think you and I both might be a little bit out as a sleeper.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'll own many shares of him.
Unless Chester Rogers fails, and if he takes over, I'll tell you this, if Paris Campbell were to take over that slot role over Chester Rogers, then I'm in because it's
But Hines is still there too. That's my thing.
That's a great point.
You have Hines, Rogers, and Campbell. They're all three going to be taking snaps out of the slot. So it's just going to be messy this year. I think Paris Campbell at the end of the year has the most snaps out of the slot for the Colts. I'll say that. But I don't know if that's because he has 36% and, you know, then Hines has 32% and then, you know, whoever else has the rest of them, however it's broken up, or if it's, you know, Paris Campbell ran 68% out of the slot and then everybody else was sprinkled in. So if I have to pick a role for a rookie, I'm going to pick the lower role.
Yeah, that's
so
interesting.
That's all I'm saying.
We'll be burning a little bit more through this because we can't. I mean, though we chatted a little bit at the top.
I want to talk about Paris Campbell more.
I know we won't be doing a whole segment on one team. Otherwise, we won't even get through it in the show. But we do have to go to break. On the other end of the hour, the whole hour is going to be dedicated to talking about what the preseason week one looks like and attaching these sleepers and seeing where we're at with them. Lots of concentration on Paris Campbell, but I think it was a good conversation because the name value was still there, but maybe you and I are out. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman and Welsh coming up in the hour two of In This League. We'll be right back.